Hey, it's Chris Jones with the Jones Zone, and this episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Jones Zone at Keller Williams Realty. That's right, we sponsor our own podcast. So if you know of anybody looking to buy, sell, rent, or invest in residential real estate in the Charlotte, Rock Hill, Fort Mill area, have them connect with us on their favorite platform. Enjoy the show.
It's Chris and Brian Jones, your real estate advocates, community connectors, talking Charlotte and York County area real estate, and interviewing business owners, entrepreneurs, and community leaders. Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast.
Count me down.
10, 9,
from eight, 3, Brian.
3, 2.
Would you grow up?
3. Oh, shut up. Let me count you down. 3, 2, 1, hit it.
Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast. What is up, everybody? It's a glorious, what is it, Tuesday?
Yeah.
Tuesday afternoon. What, you don't like that?
Glorious? Are you watching SmackDown lately?
No, it's coming on tonight. They're in Charlotte.
Yeah,
tonight.
They are in Charlotte.
You guys watch wrestling? It's been
a little while. Back in the day, yeah.
Back when Dusty Rhodes was beating up on Ric Flair.
Is Roddy Piper still wrestling? No, he's not. Actually,
I
forgot.
He's in a better place.
Yeah, anyway, that's about to...
Anyways, let's get started, man. Let's crank it out. Today, we are here with Brandon and Vince Powell, brothers who own a company together. I feel sorry for you guys if it's like our experience. The owners of the Foundation Doctor. The Foundation Doctor offers a comprehensive range of prevention and repair services. They primarily focus on helical pier installation and foundation framing and support, and all sorts of services that help stabilize and repair home foundations. Brandon and Vince, welcome to the Jones Zone.
Good to have you.
Glad to be here.
Thank you.
Yeah, so that was a real quick, brief introduction about who you guys are and what you do, if you don't mind. Take a few minutes and kind of get into your personal story, where you guys are from, where you grew up, some of your professional background, and then how you got started with the Foundation Doctor.
Sure. Go ahead, Vince.
Okay. Brandon and I, we always grew up around construction. And so after college, we both independently sort of gravitated towards real estate. And I started new construction when I was living in Burlington, and Brandon started in the mortgage industry with Wachovia, and then First Citizen, and then First Union, or whatever
Wells
ended
Fargo,
up
yeah.
being Wells Fargo at some point.
And Wells Fargo.
Wells Fargo. And I was living a different place, and so eventually decided I wanted to live near my brother and my parents, so we moved to Cabarrus County and started flipping houses together. And we both quit our jobs at some point, and me in education and Brandon in banking, and started to...
About three years ago. Three, four, yeah.
Mm-hmm, maybe four. And the real estate investment side of it was just very interesting, and so by flipping homes, we found out that the piece of the industry that was just kind of the most tricky was the foundation piece, and our guys were very good at it. And so we decided... maybe about a year ago, we started thinking about starting our own company with just the foundation piece. And so, maybe 6 months ago, took that plunge and been going well ever since. So,
what'd you do in education?
I was a math teacher, high school math teacher, and then I went into administration. I was assistant principal for
I'm going to put you on the spot.
Years.
What's the quadratic formula?
The quadratic formula, A squared plus B squared equals C squared, is that the quadratic formula? No, that's...
it's the Pythagorean...
That's a Pythagorean theorem. Quadratic formula is...
Wow. You see why he got out of it. It's too hard.
That's right.
I know there's a 4
B
in there.
B squared plus or minus the square root
yes.
of 4AC
over
2B. Over
2B.
Man, I would have
Don't
never remembered
me.
That.
Wow. Okay.
Man. All right, man.
Let's do a math off. Let's not even do a podcast.
Just
let's
say it fast.
Let's just do math problems.
It's just like the, what is it, the times tables? Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Multiplication tables.
Multiplication table?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's a pet peeve of mine when someone would say times it. Times you got to times it by 6. It's like, no, you got to multiply it by 6.
Yeah.
That's right.
Math is hard. Math is like,
well, dude,
I used to walk out of my math classes in college.
In college?
Yeah, in college. I was just, I'm done. My brain hurts.
My son, Ethan, he brought home Common Core. For the first time a couple weeks ago.
Oh man, good luck. Good luck.
We had
to
get on YouTube and like figure out. I'm like, dude, what is this? Like, what are you supposed to do? And sure enough, my wife, she's like, I guess I'll get on YouTube and watch a video on it.
That's insane.
That's insane.
It's Google not 4 + 4 = 8. It's, you know.
Yeah, it's like
find what they have in common, which is 6. They have 6 in common? Yes.
Yeah, if you add 1 to 4, if you add 1 to 5. Yeah, I don't even know what.
Whatever. All right, oh, man. So, yeah. So, growing up as boys, you got into, you always kind of construction, you're doing education, house flipping, mm-hmm. now foundation. All right. What about you, man?
Yeah, so like Vince said, I kind of started with the on the financial side with Wells. You know, I had a stint in investment banking, and then I went to, when everything kind of blew up back in 08 with the mortgage crisis, I went to work on a lot of the troubled debt with Wells Fargo. With the, it was a pick-a-pay portfolio they purchased where you could pick a payment and it would negatively amortize, so your loan balance would grow. And they just thought that, that home prices would keep going up, right? And as long as home prices went up, they were fine. It didn't cause any problems. But once everything turned, that whole thing blew up. So I was on a team that kind of worked through kind of how to get those paying again through loan modifications or short sales, you know, if they couldn't get a payment plan. So through that process, I learned a lot about foreclosures, which got us into the flipping business, because we would bid on a lot of properties at courthouse. So that's kind of where we started. And then, like Vince said, we transitioned a little bit. We're still doing some flipping, but we had in particular a house where it needed a lot of foundation work. And that was kind of our jumping off point, where we got our guys trained up and we sent them to St. Louis to get trained, came back, and we really tackled that project. And then once we completed that, then we kind of had our guys ready to go for other, you know, retail customers. So that was about a year ago when we did that, and we've been kind of doing that ever since.
So you kind of lived through the post Big Short era, right?
Yeah.
He just wanted to throw out the Big Short because he loves that movie.
Hey, I do love that movie, but you know, it kind of like, you got to clean up. Somebody's got to clean up a lot of that mess.
Oh,
you know?
It was bad. It was real bad. People would just, you know, people would work at McDonald's and, you know, have $1 million house. They've just stated income. Yeah, I make, you know, $500,000 a year.
That's insane. You know, we had a closing delayed yesterday because of VOE. It was just like, why are you asking for this the day before we're supposed to close? Anyways.
No.
So cool, man. What got you guys interested in flipping houses? I mean, right off the bat, that's what got you guys into that?
I mean, it was just, you know, an opportunity that I in particular was researching the courthouse process and, you know, cracked the code with researching title. And at that point, we kind of figured out that we could kind of get a niche and maybe beat the competition, because there wasn't a lot of people doing that back then. So we were able to get some high margin deals doing that. But now it's harder because everybody is, you know, jumping in, and there's websites out there that help people kind of with title work and stuff like that. So it's just a lot more competition, so the margins have kind of shrunk a little bit. So that's another reason why I wanted to kind of branch out to do some retail stuff with the foundation work.
Did you guys find that, and I mean, you kind of touched on it already, but you kind of found a common theme and with the foundation issue being a big concern in a lot of these houses?
Every single house had some major foundation issue that we had to mitigate before we could move on, or if we would, you know, if we avoided it, which we did plenty of times, we would try to act like it didn't happen, and then when we go to sell it, then it pops up. And we're in
their inspector finds it.
That's right. Then we spent, you know, twice as much fixing it on the back end. Yeah. So we kind of, you know, taught ourselves in some respect to, you know, tackle the foundation stuff first. And of course, we didn't want to spend the money on it, so we just trained our guys, and eventually they got, you know, very proficient at addressing all those different things. So
why is that such a common problem? Is it just lack of maintenance, or what's causing all these
problems? Scary.
Do you want to go in a crawl space?
Absolutely.
That's the reason,
not.
Right? I mean, yeah. Nobody wants to go in there. I mean, it's...
I saw a 4-foot black snake, or 4-foot snake skin the other day, right next to the crawl space door. And, you know, the homeowner knew it was there and said they hadn't been in there in 6 months. I'm not going in there. And I said, I'll take this snake skin down. I don't think he's out right now. And didn't matter. She wasn't going in.
So. I wouldn't either, man.
Nah, we had a contractor out on one of our listings going to a crawl space, got bit by a snake.
Awesome.
Like, man, I got bit by a snake out there. Oh. Well, you're not asking me to pay that bill, are you? what's the problem?
It'd be nice, you know. I have a thing with snakes, bugs, spiders, I don't like them. And I also don't like confined spaces, so those two is just a no-go for me.
Yeah, my house is on a slab. I don't have to worry
about that. If I'm under a crawl space, I could just see myself like coming face-to-face with a raccoon or something.
Oh, yeah.
And then just like... Duh! And just like freaking out and like literally dying of a heart attack underneath the house. That's my greatest fear.
Have you guys seen raccoons? What are some of the
we had a raccoon in a crawl space house in Pinehurst just this past week, and had to get a guy to go get a cage and trap it. And he's texting us, "What do I do now?" And we're asking each other,
"I don't care what you do with it. I don't want to know what you do with it.
Get him out of the house." Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, quick question: you guys are brothers. What kind of conversation did you have in terms of starting a business together? You know, let's get into the foundation doctor stuff now. You flip some houses together. Mm-hmm. But now you're like, let's start a company together.
Because if you're anything like the Jones brothers, the older brother came begging me, the younger brother, to work for him. Did you beg Brandon to work?
Definitely.
That's how that went down.
That's how it went down. Please, man, please. That's
exactly how it went down.
I need this.
Well, we were both pretty comfortable in our other jobs, but you know, at some point you want to continue the comfortable or just take the plunge and figure out if you can make something else work. And, you know, working with your brother, you know, certainly sounded attractive at that point. We had
It sounded attractive at that point.
Yeah, I'm trying to find an exit strategy right now.
We're two in it too deep now.
But, yeah, I mean, that's basically we talked about it for a little while. We did a few part-time flips, I guess. We'd do maybe one a year for a couple of years, and we tried to make it a high-margin, big project, and those went pretty well as a part-time gig, so, you know, we just kind of moved into the full-time.
Yeah, and then Vince, he quit his job first, and then I was about 6 months.
To start Foundation Doctor?
No, to continue, because we got to a point where we were so busy with our flipping that we kind of needed to pick. We couldn't keep kind of... squirreling away on lunch breaks and working on the weekends and all that, so we kind of had to make a choice. So, you know, we decided to take the plunge. So Vince stepped out first, and then I was behind him about 6 months.
Well, and that kind of made sense because I'm the general contractor and I'm on site and I run the crew, and we got, you know, I make the schedule, and right now I'm doing all the sales for Foundation Doctor. Aside from maybe one or two sales calls, we have an outside, the third party. Employee, I guess you could say, that runs a few sales calls for us, but it kind of made sense for me to quit first, and then Brandon kind of on the back end marketing piece would quit second, I guess you could say.
So
we got a question on the Facebook Live. Do you guys restore existing foundations or build new ones?
We mostly do existing foundations. We have not built a new foundation since my own personal house.
Okay.
So, yep.
Cool.
All existing. So, yep, absolutely.
All right, so let's get into like foundations. What is a foundation? What are some of the frequently asked questions you guys get? You know, walk us through kind of foundations 101, if you don't mind.
Yep, sure. Well, a lot of our business comes from real estate agents like you guys. They go to closing, and then you know, the home inspection reveals some level of foundation disrepair, and a lot of that is as simple as a vapor barrier, but it goes all the way up to, you know, having step cracks in foundation walls, which indicate generally a shifting of foundation underneath, and so that's more of an invasive process to fix, but we do it all, and there's, you know, from wood rot to that's a common thing. People don't control water, and so it rots wood over time. And then a lot of times it's just a neglected space. They don't have any clue what's down there. You could find dead bodies, or there's no telling what you can find down there. And I sometimes put it on their radar. The house has been on the market for a year, and they, you know, get my pictures when I come out of there, and I'm covered in cobwebs and all kinds of stuff, and I show them pictures, and they're like, "Oh, wow, how about that?" So it's just a whole variety of things that you could see.
Yeah. So, you know, most homes here, would you say most of them are on a foundation, or are they most of them are on a slab? Not foundation, I mean crawl space.
Yeah, definitely most of the older homes were crawl space, mm-hmm. and I think even more, you know, today I guess they build kind of a combination of slab and crawl, but, you mm-hmm. know, the ones that are on the market that, you know, that were churning through real estate transactions, they seem to be more crawl space. Is that what you guys
experienced? Yeah, for the most part, yeah. It's probably more crawl space than... We don't have a lot of basement homes here, obviously. Yeah. So.
Let me ask you this: if, like, as far as new construction goes, and they're laying the slab, is there a time frame where that slab should, like, settle before the house gets constructed on?
I don't think so. I think that usually is taken care of. Right now, they have to dig a foundation, a footing, mm-hmm. around the outside, even if you're pouring a slab, and they'll put brick ledgers and that kind of thing where the weight is supported on the outside anyway. So the initial stage of digging a footing is still the same, even if you have a slab. Sometimes it's just an elevated slab, or it could be on grade. But
footing would have to cure for a certain number of...
I don't know that I've ever had that issue. We usually lay block the next day on a footing. So by the time you lay block and prepare your slab, I think the footing is probably cured. I don't think that's an issue. I would guess that a track builder would probably know exactly what that requirement is, because they try to go so fast.
Now, you mentioned step cracks. What are those?
Step cracks are when basically you have a footing failure, and so in a lot of cases you'll have maybe one corner of a house that has lost some support because it gets wet, or a gutter downspout is making it wet, and then it dries out more frequently than other parts of the house. And so then when the foundation starts to sink, then the brick veneer just becomes pressurized, and then over time it'll start cracking the brick, and that thing, the corner will just sink a little bit. And as it sinks, it forms little step cracks, and the footing essentially just breaks off and starts to fall. And so the step cracks go from the footing all the way up to the roof line. In a lot of cases, that's a pretty clear indicator that something's going on with the footing that needs to be supported. That's where the helical piers come in.
So what is exactly a helical pier?
Helical pier is a 3-inch pipe that has a 12-inch disc at the end of it that is set like a screw. And so it is a 12-inch screw on a 3-inch pipe that gets drilled into the ground, sometimes 12 to 50 feet, essentially. And then once it gets drilled into the ground where it reaches a pressure that the engineers tell us is what we look for, then we stop drilling and we put a big beefy plate on that pipe and we pick up that section of the house. So we essentially lift the house on these big pipes. So
yeah.
Once you get down far enough to have the pressure to support it.
So what role does an engineer play in what you guys do? Do you have to run everything by him or her before you guys actually do work on the house?
We do.
Yeah.
That is a requirement in the state of North Carolina. It's not every state, but in North Carolina, if you essentially replace the footing with your own lifting system, you have to get an approval from a structural engineer. So if you're just repairing what's there, you know, that's fine. You can do it. You can execute a repair. But if you're replacing the footing system, then you have to get a structural engineer to sign off on it. And so that's a frustrating piece. A lot of times people call us out and they know the problem, but we have to refer them to a structural engineer, which is another fee.
Right.
They have to execute a repair plan, then we have to follow that. So,
and you might have basically just explained it, but in terms of the real estate transaction, the inspector comes back and says, hey, you got some foundation issues. What does the seller need to do? Step one is to call you guys, or step one to get the structural engineer?
They can call us, and we get those calls a lot. But if it's like what Vince is describing, where we look at it and we've got the stair step crack and we kind of assume that it's going to need helical piers, that's when we either give some recommendations for engineers or just say, find your own, but we're going to have to work under the guidance of a structural engineer at that point.
Yeah. And you mentioned training up your crews, sending them to, where did you say, St. Louis?
St. Louis.
So what all training goes into learning how to be a foundation doctor?
Well,
Well, that's proprietary.
So. Okay, that's a foundation right. Specialist.
Well, the training went along with the materials that we're able to buy through a company, a vendor called PureTech. And so they've done all their testing on their pure materials, and so we just buy the pure materials from them. Otherwise, we would have to kind of independently verify whatever pure materials we buy. And so it's just much easier to buy from a known quantity. And so in order for them to sell to us, they required us to go out for some training, and we sent a couple of our lead guys at that time to get certified through their company. And then all of the other stuff, I guess you could say structural repairs, fall under me as a general contractor. That's, you know, I'm a licensed general contractor, so I am basically supervising those repairs. Yeah. Yep.
Sheesh. So what all equipment do you have to use? I mean, you got to jack up a house, you have to drill and do all that sort of stuff. I mean, what all goes into kind of the repair process?
Well, a lot of hydraulic jacks. We have big guys that go in tight spaces.
So like me trying to get into a crawl space?
Yeah.
Well, help! Someone pull my legs!
Or just like you boss it. Oh, God.
I texted a customer the other day and said, you know, I went in there and measured it and checked out the crawl space. I texted her and said, this is a tight crawl space. She said, for you.
Wow.
Da-doom, doom.
All right, you know what? Fix your own foundation. Good luck with that.
That's right. Yeah. So, yeah.
That's cool, man. Let's see. So let's talk about some business stuff. How do you guys, I know you work with a lot of realtors, but is that kind of your bread and butter, or do you guys get a lot of call from the public, and how do you guys get out there and market yourselves?
Yeah, so we definitely have started working with real estate agents, just because, you know, if we can get in front of them and we can solve one, you know, transaction that's about to blow up, then they come back to us, you know, time and time again. We've got a couple of agents that are doing that now. They're giving us work over and over again, or at least quoting jobs for them. But yeah, we've you know, set up our website to be pay-per-click friendly, and we're building some organic SEO capabilities as well. But so we're getting people that, you know, go out to Google and search foundation repair or vapor barrier and that sort of thing. So that's part of it. But we really want to focus on getting our names in front of other agents so that, you know, they're the ones on the front line that clients are, you know, relying on. You guys have anybody? You got a referral or, you know, anything like that. So if we can prove our worth to an agent, then they'll tell their friends, and it'll just kind of snowball from there. So that's kind of our strategy.
Yeah, because agents, we're always looking for people who are reliable, who can do good work as far as, you know, contracting goes. And it's tough because, you know, I've had in the past a couple of contracts. All the good contractors stay busy, and it's hard to get them. And then, you know, sometimes you get into the ones that don't return your phone calls, and the ones that start the work and then all of a sudden you can't find them. So it's always good to have, you
know. And we knew that because at flipping houses, we've had those frustrations all the time with, you know, people that just, you know, you would go through several of a certain trade and it just wouldn't work out. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, frustrating. So we know what customer service needs to be. So that's what our focus is on, is, you know, keeping those communication lines open, and if there's any kind of change in the project, telling them up front, you know, because, you know, the worst thing is, you know, something happens, you don't tell them until they get the bill. I mean, it's, you know, just terrible. So
Who's the CEO? Is it, like, if you look at the Jones Zone, I'm the CEO because I won the basketball 3-point shootout. But as far as hierarchy here, who does this CEO need to reach out to to go golfing with?
To go golfing.
Definitely, all right, so
definitely Brandon. I'm definitely not the golfer.
I'm not either, but, you know, us CEOs, it's important that we uphold this image.
C-level execs.
We go. We
younger brother, you know. So yeah.
Yep.
One thing I was going to say before Brian jumped in with the CEO stuff I don't think anything kills a deal faster than a horrible foundation or some sort of discovery. I've had a couple of them fall apart. Just one, I think the buyer panics and is wants to make sure that they're buying a house that's safe to live in.
Right.
And also just the financial piece of it, it's such an extensive cost to fix it. So if the buyer can't fix it, the seller doesn't have the money to fix it. Like, we got into a situation where the seller couldn't fix it unless the house closed. He's like, well, I'm going to make $10,000 if it closes.
Yeah.
I'll use that. And the guy was like, well, I'm not going to buy the house if it's got foundation problems.
Right.
Yep. So on a level of, 1 to 10 on the panic scale, I mean, how big of an issue is the foundation?
It's a significant issue.
I mean, it depends on the type of issue, too. You know, if it's like what Vince was referring to, vapor barrier and maybe some wood rot. I mean, some people get freaked out with that. But if it's, the foundation is cracking, that's where people kind of get a little... But everything is fixable. You know, that's what we... It's flipping houses. We had a house where there was fire damage all the way through the upstairs, and we took the top off the house, put floor new roof trusses in, put the roof back on, and it also had foundation issues. So, I mean, anything is fixable, and it's hard to, especially like first-time homebuyers, like to understand that is, so, we can't solve every problem, but because we've got that experience, we can, have those conversations. If the real estate agent wants to bring us in to provide comfort, we can do that too, but, at the end of the day, if they're freaked out, they're going to pull out.
So, tell the audience a little bit about the different, or the cracks on the walls and the cracks in the ceiling and how that relates to the foundation.
Okay, well, every house is going to have cracks.
Mm-hmm.
Every house is going to have nail pops. When I do walkthroughs at the end of flipping projects and we find a buyer, that's one of the first things I say is you're going to see nail pops everywhere. So just kind of get used to them. But if you see cracks that show up in particular places like over doors or over windows, that's a little different. Typically I can walk through a house with a new buyer and point out all these things and kind of make them feel like that's just part of the process and make them feel a little bit more comfortable that some of these things are just normal because it's a lot of houses have a new finish even though it's not a new house. So I would say, but if you do find cracks over a door or a window, that's a little bit of a different thing. Or if your doors are sticking or your windows are sticking, that's another kind of indicator that something's shifting around that you might need us to take a look at.
Wow.
Yep.
What do you mean shifting around?
Might be something moving underneath the foundation that causes some unlevelness there. Something is.
So you guys would go in with a little, with the jacket up. What was that tool?
Hydraulic jack
with your hands? Yeah, with your jack, you move the dirt around.
You and your buddies would just help each grab a corner.
Grab a corner,
like it's a table.
You got that's right.
One, two, three, up, 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 and sit down. Okay.
Yep.
Do you guys, you mentioned using SEO and stuff. How do you go about building your SEO and your pay-per-click? Is that just...
Yep, so we've got a... when we had our website designed, I had a buddy of mine design it, and he did a good job for kind of getting it out the door. But then we were looking at all the other competitors' websites, and we really wanted something that was mobile-friendly and tablet-friendly and kind of real versatile. So we reached out. I called, 7-8 different companies and got really confused. But through that process, I realized there was one clear company that we wanted to go with. So we reached out to them. They built our website, and they're handling our SEO campaign. So we haven't seen the results really yet because it just takes so long.
SEO takes a while.
Yeah. So yeah. I mean, we're seeing it tick up a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but the pay per click stuff is, that's immediate. So we've got a freelancer that we found through Upwork. I don't know if you guys have used that before, and he's been really great. He's kind of, made our campaigns specific to what people are searching for and then kind of land them on the page exactly, where it needs to be so it's kind of relevant for them.
Right.
So we're seeing some really good results from that as well.
Cool.
That's cool. I'm fascinated with marketing myself. So I'm fairly new to it and everything, the digital marketing as far as landing pages, SEO and everything. There have been several, real estate campaigns that we've ran on Facebook, mediocre success.
Mm-hmm.
Define mediocre, I guess. But anyway, so do you guys let your, like Chris and I, we have a pretty good relationship. You guys look like you have a pretty good relationship. Is there any times where you guys bicker over anything and then kind of blows up or no?
Not recently.
Yeah. Not recently.
Kind of figured out how to navigate that. Yeah.
It was a little bit of a challenge when we were both doing it part time because we had different roles that required different amounts of, I guess, outside the home time versus doing it at work. And our work environments were so different. Me being in education, Brandon being in corporate banking. So that was a recipe for some pretty pointed discussions, I guess, or, you know, but nothing too bad. You know, but we did figure out that we couldn't do it part-time. It was something we had to do together. And since then, it's been, I don't know.
We have issues with, you know, paint, you know, if I think something needs to be painted one color, you know, stuff like that. Mm. We just kind of get, you know, the thing that I think helps is we're really busy. Mm. So it's like, I'm not going to like hold on to this, you know, color selection for this one house and I'm just going to, you know, whatever, just kind of let it go. Versus, you know, this is the only house we've got. Everything's on the line. Like, we got to get this right.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just kind of, I think that helps being real busy. You can just kind of pick your battles.
Yeah, so now you can say, all right, oh, okay, Vince, well, when it doesn't sell,
you decide
to paint a different color and it sells, we'll see. What are some of the biggest things that you guys have learned in this year and a half or 2 years that you guys have been doing this? What are some of your biggest takeaways in terms of starting your own business? I mean, like... Mm-hmm.
I would say
it's not rhetorical.
This is like, man, I'm not really
sifting through all the
takeaways. Takeaways.
He's trying to figure out which ones he can actually share. Is what he's trying to do.
I mean, I think you just gotta just put something out there and go with it. You know, even if it's wrong, you just gotta keep moving and try something. I think, you know, for people listening, you know, if you've got an idea, just try it. You know what I mean? Like, If it blows up, then that's a learning opportunity. So I'm kind of a person that really overanalyzes sometimes and tries to think seven steps ahead. And Vince is, you know, more of, let's just do it now. So he's kind of taught me to just, you know, just we're going to change the tires as we're driving down the road on this thing. So that's kind of one thing I think I've kind of grown in. Just get out there and do it.
Yeah. I would say trust your gut. Because, you know, I'm hiring and firing and finding vendors and, you know, that kind of thing out in the field. And, you know, in all of our hiring and firing decisions, the ones that I've trusted my gut have been the best decisions that we've made. And so, you know, when we get an employee that we're not super excited about, or I'm not super excited about, and I, you know, should I pull the trigger now as to hire this person or fire this person and then I'll wait. It never works out. I need to just go ahead and trust my gut because I'm getting input from people all along the way, either my wife or Brandon or, you know, our lead project managers. I need to just go ahead and...
I'm facing that dilemma right now. There's somebody I just really want to fire.
That's right.
And,
we'll talk
about it.
There's only two of us in the company, so go ahead and get out there.
You're the CEO. Trust your gut, man.
Uncomfortable.
Things just got awkward. So now that you guys ditched the 9-to-5 and the teaching and the banking and you're entrepreneurs, are there any mentors or authors or anybody that you guys look up to, anybody that you use as a resource or an inspiration or anything like that?
Inspiration. You can use my name if
you'd like. Or you can use mine, you know.
I think what you guys are doing is really cool to be able to just sit down and talk with other small business people. So, you know, I'd like to do that more, is to just connect with other people that are, you know, it doesn't have to be a, you know, somebody that's doing exactly what we're doing. It doesn't even have to be construction. It's like what you were saying. It's just, you know, here's how I'm thinking about marketing, right? Because everybody has to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, you know, connecting more with small business owners and kind of getting their, you know, feedback and, you know, figuring out what their mindset is. So I think that's...
And using a platform like podcasting is a great way to do that, because it lets people who... Like, look at this, for example. If we've never met Leah, she introduced us. It's just a way to network in a relevant way in 2017, as opposed to, hey, let's meet up at Starbucks and then just kind of like talk about whatever and then lose contact. Yeah. But if you get somebody on and provide a service for them, it's going to come back to you tenfold. Mm-hmm. So that podcasting is just a great way to, we love doing it.
Yeah.
So
I would have said Richard Branson.
Going back to your question. Yeah.
Going back to my question.
What was your question again?
I don't think anybody asked you the question.
Like, what? What are you talking about? Let's see if we got more Facebook Live. Any foundation questions?
So, bought this brick house, and it slants in the back corner. Wondering on getting repaired in the coming future. Any suggestions? That comes from Brandon Barrett.
Oh, boy.
Get it worked on.
Right.
Call the foundation doctor.
I would sell it immediately. Enlist it with us.
Well, after they get the foundation issues fixed.
Yeah.
It's already there. Yeah. Yep, give us a call.
Yeah, Brandon, give them a call.
We'll come take a look.
Well, that's something that we do give free estimates. So
okay.
People, you know, like that aspect. It's like, you know, I don't know if there's a problem. Just come look at it. So I just thought of something.
Did you guys ever watch wrestling? Like back in like the 90s, maybe?
Absolutely.
Tons of wrestling.
Bret Hart, Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
Yep.
The Hart Foundation. Watch if your last names were Hart, would you go with Hart Foundation or Foundation Doctor?
They'd probably get sued by the WWE.
Yeah.
That's great publicity.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's right.
It's negative, right?
Yeah. Just go in there with the assumption of getting sued or at least adhering to the cease and desist, and then boom. Change your name to the foundation.
And then you have this whole campaign about how the WWE hates
yes, and you just gotta run with it.
Yeah.
That's stuff.
People start searching WWE, they see the foundation doctors. It used to be the Hart Foundation.
Is Brandon Barrett calling right now? Is he calling?
No, I don't think that's his number.
Is he from Phoenix, Arizona?
No.
Okay.
All right, guys. Well, let's take the last minute. Just kind of take us home. Remind us who you are, what you do, how people can get in touch with you, the areas you serve, all that sort of stuff, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So our website is probably the best way to kind of get out and see what we do. It's www.foundationdoctornc.com. And one thing that we talked about doing is anybody that references the Jones Zone podcast, we can give them 15% off.
All right. You heard it here.
You heard it here. That's a Jones Zone podcast exclusive.
That's right, baby.
15% off.
15% off. So,
which, depending on what it is, that is a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's substantial.
That's, yeah.
So we appreciate that. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
You can find us on Facebook as well.
Yep, Facebook.
We'll post the live feed in just a few minutes. Absolutely.
Awesome.
All right. Well, thanks for swinging by the Jones Zone Studios.
Vince and Brandon. Pleasure having you.
Right. Co-working gallery.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
That was the weird. Let's do a manly handshake.
There we go.
Get in there for the real thing. We almost knocked it over in front of everybody. Oh, such a klutz.
Thanks so much for listening to the Jones Zone Podcast with Chris and Brian Jones. We'll catch you on the next episode.